This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. I'm Tom.
I'm John.
And this week we are talking about Terminator Zero.
Terminator Zero? This was surprising to see this franchise getting into an anime. Prove me if I'm wrong, but I haven't seen like any graphic novels or any stories like going to different mediums. And it's so interesting to see this in an anime form, but also seeing new stuff in the show. But yeah, I'm a huge fan, huge fan of the first Terminator films, especially Terminator 2. I love it to bits. It's a great film. And yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Really, whenever you talk about Terminator, it's the first two. That's the gold standard. Everything from there basically is diminishing returns. I rewatched the original recently and I absolutely loved it. And I think it's interesting actually because there is a Terminator TV show, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, that is like 3 or 4 seasons long, but no one ever really talks about it. No one ever really talks about this franchise beyond.
Never knew about that.
Yeah, it's just the first two that people really talk about. So it's interesting that here we have another TV show. This is the first Terminator on screen since Dark Fate, which was 2019. So it's been 5 years, and I sit there and I wonder to myself, where can we really take this? To me, basically every Terminator story after Terminator 2 just does the same thing. It's like, it's about John Connor and Sarah Connor, Terminator company, you know. But I was happy that this actually took it in a new direction.
Yeah, there were some surprising elements into the show, questioning about AI, questioning about humans actually having the ability to create AI. Is it useful? Is that a tool? Mm-hmm. Or is that turned into a weapon? Some interesting discussions that really takes you somewhere, like thinking about that. And I really love the animation style. I think it's super cool. It really reflects the 90s aesthetic. It's clean, it's slick. But overall, in my personal opinion, I wish we could have seen more of the characters rather than relying it on the Terminator world in itself. I wish we could have seen like the emotional impact on each other characters. Like, we don't rely on the action and stuff. The action is really cool. I think it's sick, but I wish we could have seen more of the characters and why do we need to connect them as well.
Yeah, I agree with basically all of that. It's a fantastic looking series. It takes that Terminator iconography and it brings it into late 20th century anime. It very much reminded me of Akira, that kind of neo-futuristic-esque vibe. There's something about the lighting of it and the reflections and this certain kind of glow that it has. It really did root it straight in that time period.
Mm. It really reminded me of Ghost in the Shell, because you know, you can see the influences between that. You can really see it here, and I think it just takes the form of anime and retelling it with Terminator. And what's so interesting about the title as well is it's called Terminator Zero, and in anime or in manga as well, that zero is like a prequel. It's like a ground zero. It means this is what happens. So it kind of like gives me ideas about, could this be a prequel to the Terminator world of like the time loops, the thing about how they're going to get this leader, John Connor, into the future? That's like my kind of theory right now. I hope I'm not going too insane, but it's like that zero title. It's like we're going back to basics, maybe exploring what could have happened led up to the first Terminator. I don't know if this show is related to or a canon to the Terminator world, which is interesting.
Well, the canon is a really interesting discussion in Terminator because everything kind of is canon because of bridging timelines. You know, in The Flash, when they start meddling with time and a character pulls out a big glass board and gets a pen and is like, right, okay, and just starts drawing the timeline, kind of like Back to the Future 2. That's what I need for the Terminator franchise. I need to see, because obviously there's a lot going in. Time loops are always occurring, but also things are branching off, like Dark Fate and Genesis are two branching timelines, but maybe the first 4 Terminator films kind of are one singular timeline, maybe. I mean, it's all up for debate, really. But this one takes it completely different. I really enjoyed that we're exploring Tokyo. We explore just the other side of the world. I don't think any other Terminator film has explored anywhere other than LA. I think Terminator Genesis goes to San Francisco at one point.
I think Dark Fate might have took it somewhere, I don't know.
Yes, but... no, I think you're right, actually. I've only seen Dark Fate the once, but yeah, no, I think you're actually right on that one. But it's all North America, right? And so, yeah, like, let's go somewhere different. That's the benefit of going to Tokyo. And there were some really cool elements of this in its visual style that called back to numerous Terminator things. I'm pretty sure that the time machine design is the same one from Genesis, whether or not that was a pre-established design before then. It's a cool idea. It's a really sweet little thing. I'm a big fan of franchises picking up aspects of even the worst films. Let's explore even the stuff that people hated the most. Let's not throw away Phantom Menace or Thor the Dark World or Alien Resurrection. I'm always a big fan of that. And I think this series walks the line of referencing other Terminator stories. And then at times it just kind of steps over it. Like, it kind of reminded me of Alien Romulus at times, in the sense that, especially in the first half, it didn't feel like it added anything new. Like, you know, we got a highway sequence like in Genesis. There's a police station shootout like in the original film. There's a Terminator who poses as a cop, just like the T-1000 and T2. I think I was really ready to feel underwhelmed by the series. But then, kind of at the midpoint, it really kicks into gear and gives something different and compelling for this universe. I love the idea that we are, as you said, ground zero. It is the day of Judgment Day. We have run out of time. That's really compelling.
Yeah, very, very interesting to think about. And I'm thinking of, like, could we potentially see more of this anime? Because I think it's done an excellent job of, like, laying down the foundations for the characters and think about where they are in this journey. And I think season two, we can see more of the characters, like, have a stronger connection with them. Because you can definitely see that at the end of this series, and they have, like, a stronger bond with this family. And that whole idea of AI, there was some really interesting episodes that they talked about with the AI and then about mankind, and that was like something that you really haven't thought about in Terminator movies, about having that discussion with another AI thinking about another AI in that terms of Judgment Day. Again, I think that's some pretty excellent stuff that you want to explore. But then I agree with you with that midpoint, it just goes completely sideways, and it's like, oh, I didn't really expect that. It's something that I was like kind of struggling at first. I was like, okay, how are they going to continue this in a way of, like, we know about the Terminator films, like, okay, they could have saved the day, they could have avoided Judgment Day. But then again, it's that zero, that ground zero. This is something we never thought about ever before. This is, I mean, like, this could lead up to loads of things of timelines and all of that. It's really intriguing.
Yeah, it's funny to me that every single Terminator sequel after Terminator 3 has been trying to set up a trilogy. Terminator Salvation was the intended first part in a trilogy. Terminator Genesis was the intended first part in a trilogy. And you'll never guess what Dark Fate was. It was the intended first part of a trilogy. And so it's really hilarious to me that every time they're like, yeah, we're gonna do another trilogy, we're gonna, you know, well, we're gonna make a classic, and then it doesn't make enough money, people don't like it, etc., so forth. The Terminator franchise isn't gonna die by no means, but it would be really great if we finally get one of those stories to actually continue. And I think that season two of this would be really nice. I really enjoyed how, you know, every Terminator story is about killing the Terminator, fixing the future, stopping the threat through, you know, blowing up and destroying stuff. The philosophical questions, the existential elements, they come beneath that. But what this story asks is, what if this threat, like the danger that every Terminator movie has shown, what if Skynet itself could be good? Could it be taught to see the value in humanity and preserving it and protecting it? This series is bloody. It doesn't pull any punches with its action. But at its core, it asks whether good or evil can be programmed, whether a creator is in fact responsible for the awareness of a creation. It actually reminded me of the film The Creator from last year, but it's a TV show, it has a lot more time to expand and explore its themes. After you get past the generic Terminator stuff, there's actually some really interesting new questions that I thought are really interesting. And I agree with you, the characters, some of them are really well developed and some of them have a lot to do, but others, they're just there. And there is really interesting stuff that we can go into, but we don't in this season. So I think a season two would be really beneficial to expand the story. There's a lot of places to go with this timeline that we've created.
Yeah, I want to see more of this. It's so, so cool. And you don't really get to see like those continuing stories that feel like they could be consistent. I could really see this as like a consistent story. It doesn't limit yourself as a writer. You're just like trying to expand, but also trying to make this a self-contained story. I could definitely see the series going into season two or season three. And I think it's really cool with the philosophical questions.
Yes. I want to talk about the character whose name I've already forgotten, but the Misaki? Kind of like, yes. because I guess the reveal is that she is like a very early android Terminator-esque being. The moment that she cut herself in episode like one or two, I was like, she's a Terminator! You can't fool me! And they didn't fool me, but I really, really enjoyed that perspective. We have only seen it, I think, once, and that's in Terminator Salvation, where there is a Terminator who actually feels human emotions. That's fascinating to me. At what point does a robot see itself as a living being? You know, the Terminators, every single one of them, they are just a killing machine. They are built for one purpose, and that's all they do. But this character was really compelling because she, the whole time, is like, no, I am me. I have feelings. There's a brilliant moment where she starts to cry, and she looks down at her hands, and there are tears in her hands. And without any dialogue, you know that her exact thought is, look at me, I'm crying, I'm showing emotion. How can I be a robot and be doing this? It feeds into those emotional threads of like, who is she and whether or not you can trust her. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, I think that aspect of the show led to different directions. I'm really glad we do have like that type of element to figure out that existential feeling of like, oh my God, am I a robot this entire time? And it's pretty scary. It's like you don't realize about your memories. You're thinking about Misaki and how long she's been helping Malcolm for years and years in the future, and then went back to prevent that. But also it's like this whole thing, it just really reminded me of like the Alien universe when it comes to synthetics, of like Wayland creating David in order to show the engineer he's a creator as well. And it's like these creators can be like emperors or something, that like they could feel like they're gods. And that's like the element of here with Malcolm. He's trying to be like a god in ways of like he can save humanity, he can prevent this. But what the show does, it goes sideways with the world just completely ended, with Skynet just won, but Japan is saved. So it's like he doesn't save the world, but he saves himself, like selfishly. And I think that's a really interesting aspect to go through, as like this creator who wants to help only himself for selfish reasons, to figure out like maybe save his timeline or maybe go to different timelines. It's so interesting to explore Malcolm, but I wish we could have seen him with the family, because we could have seen that connection with that. So it kind of struggled with me because he kept talking about dreams, even though he's from the future, and he's like, oh my God, I have these dreams about Judgment Day. Oh my God. And it's like, okay, what's the point of that? We could have just explored that family dynamic in ways.
Yeah, the family side is really frustrating because the kids, they're all just like, where's my dad?
Where's my cat?
Where's my dad? I can't trust you because you're a robot, but also I love robots.
Oh, it's there's a very this strange thing. Woman who's saying there's the evil robot as well. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's difficult to get right. And I think that I agree, if we'd have felt a bit more of a connection with his family and him specifically, that would have worked better. But I do really like the idea, you know, because normally the Terminator formula is that we have two characters who time travel and that's it, right? But it was actually really cool to be like, actually, I've already time traveled. I time traveled 15 years ago. Like, you know, it's like, what a twist. And it gives us that Terminator formula. And then it's like, aha, actually, you know, this person already is from the future. And that's really interesting.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
because he's from the future and he designs all these other robots, that's actually really cool, because it means finally we have some new robot threats in a Terminator story that aren't just the T-800 or the T-1000 again. Like, every single one has just been, the regular robot and the liquid metal robot. Sometimes it's a robot who is both. And it's just like, guys, do you have any other ideas? And I think that this one, they go back to basics. And the robots that Kokoro activates are just genuinely terrifying. Their lack of emotion and even their indistinguishable face. They got like this cuboid heads, and you pair that with their movements and their size in numbers, it makes them a really creepy and a really great threat. And we still do get a couple of T-800s, but the show recognized that the T-800 was cool, the T-1000 was cool, and then like from there it's like, okay, we're doing it all again, like, can we have something new? And it gave us something new, and I thought that was really
It's great to see kind of a different Terminator in a way. Which version was this? Was it just a normal one with the T-100?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was a T-100.
Yeah, I think this one was pretty interesting, of like what its directive, you know, what's it trying to do with Kenta later on in the show. And it's like, plot twist, he actually is trying to save Kenta. Two different possibilities of what the AI is going to do. So again, time travel is an interesting concept when it comes to Terminator films. It's like, like these Terminators are trying to, you know, stop a figure or a moment in time to actually let Judgment Day happen and let Skynet win. But here, there's multiple different timelines trying to converse, but also trying to disperse as well. They're doing something that's completely pointless. It's like they're trying to stop it, but their past is not going to be their present. That past is going to be a different future. It's not going to reflect it. So it's like they're fighting over something that cannot be changed in their timeline, but will change somebody else's timeline. So it's so interesting when it comes to that as well. I'm glad we did look into the element of time travel, because it's like, okay, we've seen it all. We go back in the past, and the first two films are just incredible with that. Especially Terminator 2 does something really emotionally compelling with Arnie in that. And then in this one, it's great to see Miyazaki as such a compelling character. So I do hope we do get to see more of these characters and, you know, develop them.
Yeah, the best part about the original two Terminator films are the twists, I guess. I love showing people films when they have no idea what they're about. I remember when I showed my partner Terminator and I was like, we're gonna watch Terminator. She had no idea anything. And if you watch that film from a fresh perspective, you have no idea that Arnold is a robot until it cuts to his POV and you see that what he's seeing is a heads-up display. It's brilliant. And then you get a similar thing in Terminator 2 where you think the T-1000 is the resistance soldier who's been sent, and you think the T-800 is the Terminator. But no, the T-800 is going to protect John Connor, and the T-1000 is actually this liquid metal. It's really great. And this show, it gives you all these twists and all these turns, and it does continuously surprise you. It lulls you into a false sense of security at the start, and then it keeps on going. At times, it's a little bit too similar to some of the others, but it really pushes forward and gives you those twists and those new concepts, which makes it stand above. I think that is so fantastic. And the resistance fighter in this one is Aiko, and that's a really interesting thing that she's actually the mother of Malcolm, and that's again more timey-wimey shit. Really, really compelling, really fascinating. But yeah, she was the part of the show for me that fell short, because she's barely in it. Like, yeah, she doesn't really do much. And so that reveal, like, hello mother, it's like, sorry.
Yeah, it was so like such reckless. Just like, what?
Yeah,
okay, she's important. She's actually like, important to something.
I get her whole deal is that, yeah, she grew up in this post-apocalypse and she wants to help save it. Great. Yeah. But I don't really know her as a character.
Yeah.
There's not any of those moments where I really, you know, think about Kyle Reese in the first Terminator film. There's that monologue where he basically says, I came across time because I love you and I wanted to save you. And it's like, oh, it's, you know, you can tell that there's, you know, there's something to him there. But here, I just felt like, you know, she was there in the action. The action was great and all that, but she wasn't nearly as compelling to me as any of the other characters.
Yeah. We could have just seen more of Aiko and why is she so important for the story. Like, you literally get to see her in the opening and why in the year 2022. So it's just so...
Wait, I think it's 2022?
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Ah!
Are we in the right timeline? No. I wish we could have seen more developed side to Aiko, and then maybe have that, because she's the grandmother of those kids as well. So yeah, we could have seen like a development of like maybe something like a clue.
What's this a clue?
Oh, no, why is the Skywalker? Oh no, not why is the Skywalker? Oh no, I have flashbacks. You know, like, you know, like when Rey is actually the granddaughter of Palpatine.
Oh, I was so confused the way you go with that,
because I was like, just referencing, oh my God, I'm like, you know,
detective stuff. Right, okay.
Yes.
I need to ask you, John, it's time. You knew this was coming. How do you feel this fares in terms of the other Terminator things? Let's talk about just the movies.
Okay.
Do you think this is the best? Because I think it's probably the best Terminator thing since Terminator 2. I know it's not a very high bar.
I agree. Because we had some highs and lows with Terminator stuff. I mean, there's some pretty cool things, but just went a very completely different direction. Especially Genesis.
Why was Matt Smith there?
I don't know why.
Oh my God.
And that film tried to do something. I mean, this one, I'm really happy we do get to see new concepts. That's the one thing that I'm really happy about. You know, we get to see these characters and then actually explore the other philosophical aspects of Terminator and AI. So I agree. I think this is the best we've gotten.
It is. I mean, does it come close to Terminator 2? No. Can it even hold a candle No, nothing will. Unless James Cameron made another Terminator film, which he won't. And I agree with you. There's something to like in every single Terminator film. No matter what you think about each film, there are elements in all of them that are fantastic. But, you know, this is probably the one out of all of the sequels that comes together the best. And I also think because it's not technically a sequel, it's not dealing with Sarah Connor or John Connor or Arnold Schwarzenegger. It does something new, something different in an exciting way. And it's by no means perfect. But it feels fresh and it feels interesting. And I'm excited that the franchise, even if it is in an anime series, it is going to be moving away from the Connors.
Yeah, the Connors and stuff. And I wish this show could have been structured better because I was like, oh, okay, we kind of could have done somewhere. But the midpoint, I think that was the best thing we could have seen from this show. It was like, okay, this is really interesting. It got to an interesting pace. It got into different directions. So I'm really happy for that. It's just those three episodes that we just had to like ease in and think about the world.
Yeah, episode 1 to 3 was kind of boring. I can't lie. Like, you know,
I agree.
It came out on the same day as Rings of Power, and I should have watched Terminator Zero because I had to do the podcast. But those first few, I wasn't getting it. So I was like, screw it. I'm watching Rings of Power instead. And I don't regret that decision. I had a great time. But
great. I'll watch that.
Yeah, you absolutely should. So yeah, Terminator Zero, what are you going to give it out of 10?
I'm going to give it a 7. I'm very close to an 8. I'm going to give it a 7.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm going 7. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy. And next week, we're going to be talking about Beetlejuice. Yeah.
I actually haven't seen the first one, so...
Oh, right, okay. Well, it's on Netflix, so give it a watch. I rewatched it the other day. I don't think it's that good. I'm very sorry, everyone. I don't think it's that great.
Oh,
but
no!
I'm interested in the sequel.
A hot take alert! I haven't seen it, so I can't say anything, so...
I did consider doing the original next week, but let's just do the sequel. Let's see how it goes. So, you know, you can send us an email at ourtimefilmpod@gmail.com. We'll be recording next Saturday, so let us know your thoughts on Beetlejuice by then, and we'll answer it right here on the podcast next week.
Yes, and you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time for Pod, see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asvel, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom and me, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that all in the description below. Thanks to L. James Mayer for the excellent theme and Roland Phillips for vocals as always. And I think that's everything. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I heard about One Piece is on BBC soon.
It's coming. It's coming.
No excuses, everybody. Whoever lives in Britain, no excuses. There's going to be 1,000 episodes.
Don's going to come
gonna
for all of us.
You're going to be stuffing me. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The One Piece.